be in the house of the Lord. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God for that. I don't want to break these glasses. I've been looking at them all night. Thought I might break them, so better be careful. 2 Chronicles, please, chapter number 15. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 15. I love the Landmark Baptist Church. I love your pastor. And I love the great work that's going on here. What an encouragement it is for young preachers all over, not only the state of Florida, but all over the United States and throughout the world. And I thank God for that God has raised literally up a landmark here in Haines City, Florida. And I'm just so encouraged. It can still be done, amen? It can still be done the right way, by preaching from the right book and having the right music and taking the right stand. And I'm just so grateful to God for that. Before I read my passage of scripture tonight, I feel a little loud, brothers. Turn me down just a little bit. Tonight I want to preach on a subject that each and every one of us has faced or will face in our life. There's not one person here tonight, under the sound of my voice, that has not faced what I'll preach on tonight, or will face what I'll preach on tonight. But I believe that if you'll hold on with me just a minute, I want to take you a direction after I announce my title in a few moments after we read our scripture. Don't tune me out right yet, but leave me tuned in for a couple minutes, and I'll get where we need to go tonight. But the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 15 and verse 1, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azri, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." By the way, that's some good advice right there, amen? Verse number 3. "Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found to them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And the nation was destroyed of the nation, and city of city, for God did vex them all with adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." By the way, that's a great verse too, amen? Keep on keeping on. Don't quit. How many of you ever felt like quitting, amen? But don't quit. There's a good verse right there. And I love this passage of scripture. It's powerful. We could talk about the power of the message of God or the word of God in this passage of scripture, could we not? We could talk about when God's man came and he spoke to Asa, how he encouraged his heart. Because look what verse 8 says. Verse 8 says, "And when Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord." By the way, after this man Asa heard some good preaching, some good Bible preaching, it did something to him, amen? And thank God for a place where you can hear good Bible preaching. We need Bible preaching. I was talking to a young man just the other day by way of telephone, encouraging him. And he said, he was talking to me, and I said, "Brother, you just need to stay in the Word of God. And you just need to stay in the will of God. And you need to stay in a good church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, on time change Sunday too, amen? And you need to stay in a good church and plant yourself there and hear the Word of God and get yourself refreshed in the things of God." And that's what we need tonight. But those aren't the verses I want to preach on tonight. I want you to look at verse 4 again. I want you to notice something with me, please. "But when they in their," what's the next word? "Trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them." When I got looking at that verse and thinking about this passage of scripture, and I don't have time to really dive into the passage tonight, but I want to just dive into this one truth here found in verse 4. When I saw that verse, it said they were in trouble, and the Bible says they turned unto the Lord God. I thought, they did the right thing. How many times do people get in trouble and they don't turn unto the Lord God? By the way, when you get in trouble, the first place you should turn is unto God, amen? So as I thought about this, and I thought, in their trouble and through their trouble, they got a blessing. So tonight, with God's help, I want to preach on this subject for just a little bit, the blessing of trouble. The blessing of trouble. Father, in Jesus' name now, I pray you hide me behind the cross, anoint me afresh and anew. I pray, Lord, you bind the hands of Satan and his workers. I pray the word of God will have free course tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts through the word of God to keep on keeping on and realize the blessings that are in trouble. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Trouble. I looked up the word trouble. The word trouble means to agitate, to disturb, to put in a confused motion. That's what trouble means. I got to ask you a question. Have you ever been agitated? Have you ever been disturbed? Have you ever felt like your life was just spinning, sometimes even out of control? Can I tell you, you're in trouble. Now, tonight's message is not to wish trouble upon anybody. I don't want anybody to come to the altar tonight and pray, dear God, give me trouble. Amen? That's not the purpose for tonight's message, okay? But tonight's message is to, I want you to realize that each and every one of us, as I said earlier in the message, we all will face trouble. And some of you, even in here tonight under the sound of my voice, maybe you're in trouble. But instead of looking at all the trouble all the time and focusing on the trouble, let's focus on God and his goodness and what God's trying to do through the trouble, amen? Sometimes they say trouble comes in three or bad news comes in threes. Why don't we ever say good news comes in threes or fours or fives? We always seem to focus when we go through trouble in the wrong places. When God wants us to focus on him. The Bible says in Job chapter number 5, verse 7, yet man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. So I thought about this definition, Brother Carter, to agitate, to disturb, to put in confused motion. I thought about what are some blessings in trouble? And when I thought about the word agitate, the first thing that came to my mind was the washing machine. Now, I've worn these clothes all day, and I'll preach tonight, and I'll go eat tonight afterwards, and I'm sure that I've got going to have some stains on these clothes, and I'm sure I've got some dirt on these clothes. It's an amazing thing. No matter how many white shirts I buy, they all seem to get kind of dark around the collar on the back by the end of the day, and this shirt will get dirty. And when it's all said and done, my wife's going to go, and she'll take our laundry, and she'll throw our laundry into a thing called a washing machine. And then she's going to put it on some cycles, is she not? She'll put some soap in there. She'll put it on a cycle. And one of those cycles, I believe, is an agitating cycle. It's going to agitate. Am I right, honey? It'll agitate and agitate and agitate. And what that cycle is actually doing, it's agitating. And as it's agitating back and forth, it is getting my shirt what, church? Clean. But if she just put it in the washing machine, she threw the water in there, and she took a 5-gallon bucket of water, and she threw some soap in there, and she let it soak for a little bit, then just pulled it out and threw it in the dryer. Is it going to be as clean as it should be, yes or no? No. It takes that agitation to get this shirt clean. Can I tell you something? Look here, please. Sometimes God allows agitation to come in our life because God wants to get us clean. God wants to get us thoroughly clean. God allows trouble in our life. By the way, that's the blessing of trouble. Oh, we like the result of a white, clean shirt. But if this shirt can speak, it might not like the process it has to go through to get clean. We like the results of being on the mountaintop and having victories and having great stories to tell. But we don't like going through that cycle. But we must go through that cycle, amen? We must go through it. Why trouble tonight? A Puritan writer wrote one time, he said, God orders trouble that we should be conformed to the image of his son. Isn't that what Romans chapter number 8, would you turn there with me real quick, still by introduction? Romans chapter number 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Why trouble? I'll tell you why. Because God wants to conform us to the image of his son tonight. God wants to knock all the impurities off our life. I am not the same Christian that I used to be a year ago. I'm not the same Christian I used to be 5 years ago. Why? Because I've been in God's washing machine, amen? God's chipped some rough edges off my life. God's helped me, and by God's grace, I won't be the same Christian next year as I am this year. Hopefully, I'll be more conformed to his image. You know, we've all heard the illustration of the man who was there and he was carving out a great sculpture. And the little boy came by and he asked the man, he said, "Sir, what are you carving?" And the man said, "I'm carving a horse." He said, "How in the world are you going to get a horse out of that?" The sculptor said, "Very easily. I'm going to chip everything off this piece of wood that doesn't look like a horse." And that's what it means to be conformed to the image of Christ, to allow God to take the hammer of his word and the sickle of his spirit and just work on our life, bang after bang, just taking everything off our life that doesn't look like Jesus Christ. Amen. The blessing of trouble. You know, when you go through trouble, what does trouble bring? Trouble brings a greater appreciation. You don't think so? Just get to a place where you're in the hospital and you almost lost your life. But God raises you up miraculously, amen? You have a greater appreciation for being able to breathe. How about when you're sick and you're aching all over? You have a greater appreciation for food, do you not, after it's all over? Think about it. Trouble brings a greater appreciation. Trouble brings a grateful attitude. A grateful attitude. You're thankful. It humbles us, does it not? It humbles us to realize we're not all that. You know, God wants to knock away pride out of our lives. Nothing stinks more in the nostrils of God than pride. Amen? And so many times we think we can do it on our own until God has to bring us to a place where, like the old songwriter wrote, "Christ is all I need." And someone said, "Christ is all you need," but you don't find out he's all you need till you find out he's all you have. Yeah, that's right. God lays us on our back and we don't have anywhere else to look but up. And then finally we say, "Okay, Lord, I got you now." And we're grateful. You know what else happens in trouble? A graceful assurance happens that God does all things well. I don't understand why God allows trouble to come in our life, totally. I don't understand what kind of trouble God orders for us, but I know this, it's for his good and for his glory, amen? And whatever the master decides, I'm going to just praise him for. Trouble. So what do we do when trouble comes? What are some of the blessings of trouble? Let me give you some. One of the blessings of trouble tonight, if you'll write it down, is you will experience the presence of God in a greater way. You will experience the presence of God in a greater way. Psalm chapter number 27 and verse number 5. Psalm 27, 5. "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." And then, of course, back in our verse in 2 Chronicles chapter number 15 and verse 4. "But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God." So in other words, when trouble comes, you know and sense God's presence more than ever before. Somebody should say amen right there. And listen, I want to tell you, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Why? Because your mind will be on the things of God. Listen, we'll have a funeral service on Saturday at our place, and I guarantee you something, in that funeral service, they won't be thinking about the football game. They won't be thinking about the hockey game. Nothing wrong with those things, but they'll be thinking about our God. They'll be thinking about eternity. They'll be thinking about heaven. They'll be thinking about Jesus who died for them. They'll be thinking about Jesus who can get them through. They'll be thinking about the grace of God, the goodness of God, the wonder of God, the beauty of God, the majesty of God. Hey, they'll be thinking about the awesomeness of our God. Once again, why? Because they had some trouble come in their life, and when trouble came, it turns into God, and you realize his presence is there. Oh, thank God for that. Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because thou art with me. In trouble, God's with you, amen? Aren't you glad he's with you every single day? Aren't you glad he's not just with you in the church tonight? Thank God he's here, but he's with you when you're in a car accident. He's with you when you're in the hospital. He's with you when your teenage daughter or teenage son is being rebellious. He's with you, and in those times of trouble, it brings you to your knees, and God's presence is like he's right there. He's just there, and you just feel you can reach out and touch him. In these times of trouble, the Bible says, this is a great verse in Isaiah. Turn there with me, please. I want you to mark this scripture. If you haven't marked it, I'm going to give you three scriptures I want you to mark. Isaiah chapter number 45, excuse me. Isaiah chapter number 45, verse 3. Listen to this verse. "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel." God was saying, okay, you're in some darkness. You're in a place of darkness. I've allowed you to be in this place so that you might know who I am. You might know who I am. Now look at Exodus, please. Exodus chapter number 20. So we see that God has given us the darkness so that we might know him. Now Exodus chapter number 20 and verse 21. I like this verse. Now God said he's going to give us a treasure of darkness, right? Look what the Bible says. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. Did you get that? God's in the darkness. You know what a blessing of trouble is? You'll experience the presence of God in high definition. Amen. You'll experience it like never before. Why? Because God said that he's in the thick darkness. Matter of fact, if you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter number 8. 1 Kings chapter number 8. In verse number 12. The Bible says, then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. Brother, if you're in a place of trouble, a place of confusion, I want you to know you're not alone. Hey, you're not alone. We don't know what thick darkness is. We'll turn all these lights off in this building tonight, but because of the windows, some light's still going to come in. But I'm talking thick darkness. I'm talking out in the jungles where there's no electricity. On a cloudy night when the stars are, not a star shining and the moon's hid, and you can't even see your hand in front of your face, and they have a statement that talks about that type of darkness. It's called a thick darkness. You can't even see to take the next step. But I want you to know, you might be in that situation tonight, but there's a blessing in that situation, and the blessing is that God is there with you. Thank God for that tonight. Oh, listen, you experience his presence like never before. Number two, secondly, I want you to see this. You'll experience his provision like never before. His provision. Can I give you this statement? God likes to do the impossible. Can I say it again? God likes doing the impossible. Psalm chapter number 27. Would you turn there in the Bible with me, please? Psalm 27 and verse number 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. And he shall set me upon a rock. God's providing, is he not? He's provided that pavilion. He's provided that. Look at Psalm 32, just a page over. Psalm 32, verse number 7. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Now look at verse 8. And I cried to thee, Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned me from my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end of that may glory, may sing praise to thee, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. The psalmist said, hey, I was in a bad place. I was in a real bad place, but you turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth, and you've girded me with gladness. You've given me a smile in my trouble. Amen. God, why? Because God provides. Psalm 46 in verse number 1. Psalm 46 in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and a very what? Present help in trouble. Do you get that tonight, church? Amen. God's a help in trouble. The provision of God, provision of comfort, provision of grace, provision of mercy, provision of healing, provision of love. Hey, listen, those children of Israel, they knew what it was when God provided for them, that daily manna. They were in a place of trouble. They were in the wilderness, but God provided for them on a daily basis, did he not? Listen, God will provide for you. I don't know what kind of trouble you're in tonight. You might be in financial trouble. You might be in marital trouble. You might be in physical trouble tonight. Hey, I want to tell you, God's there. His presence is there with you. Not only that, his provision will be there too. When I was in Bible college, I'd just gotten married. I was excited, real excited. Got our first apartment. I have to make sure, you know, when you're in Bible college, you can get late on your bill, but when you have an apartment, you can't get late on that. They'll kick you out. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I had an apartment I had to pay for. Had a new wife. And I wanted to make everything just right. We didn't have a lot of furniture, so we'd buy some furniture here and there and pick up some good deals. And I had a car that I had bought that God had provided for me. Boy, I got a super deal on this car. I bought it from a senior man, and I mean, nobody ever sit in the back seat. It was an Oldsmobile 88, Royale 88. Boy, was it nice. Leather seats. I mean, just it was a beautiful car, and I got a steal of a deal on it. And God provided that car for me because I had an accident, and God gave me this car for such a good deal to get back to Bible college, newly married. I mean, I was excited about it. I'm sitting in choir practice at the college, and I'm on the front row, kind of like these rows here, and I'm singing maybe We Shall See Jesus or The Midnight Cry, one of those good songs, amen, and we're practicing, and all of a sudden, a lady comes in, and she leans over, and she taps, and she says, Glenn, and I said, yes, and I, you know, stopped singing. She said, I think your car is on fire outside. I said, what? I got up calmly, raced down the hallway, took my keys out of the pocket. As soon as I did, there was glass doors, like you have glass doors here. I looked out the glass doors, and to my surprise, there's the fire department. And there's the biggest, thick, black cloud of smoke I ever saw in my whole entire life. And it's coming from my car. It's coming out from under the engine of my car. And as I get out to the door, Brother Carter, I open the door. The firefighter has the axe in his hand. Now get the picture. The car's got, and he's getting ready to bust my window. And I, in my stupidity, says, don't bust the window. I've got the keys. I'm thinking I'm going to save this car. I mean, flames are shooting out from underneath. Maybe they did bust the window. I don't remember. I kind of went in days after that. And I kind of just remember going from there, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get to work tonight? What's going to happen with this car? I live in Florida. My insurance is in Florida. I'm all the way in Tennessee. I'm newly married. I can't just hitch a ride with somebody. But see, that year our college had grown, and my brother-in-law had gone to the same college, and because it had grown, they'd asked some families to take some people in, so my wife and I decided we'd take our brother-in-law in, and guess what my brother-in-law had? My father-in-law's car, amen? And he didn't have a job at that time, but I did. So I was able to use his car. God provided a car for me. Now, when you get newly married and you're going to Bible college, how many of you guys understand this, you Bible college students? You have a lot of bills. A lot of bills. So I'm thinking, how am I going to get a new car, getting behind on my college bill, trying to pay this, going to work? And I thought, Lord, what good can absolutely come out of this? Well, I didn't know till I got a phone call from the insurance company. And then when they said to me, they were sending me a check, I was very glad. And as I opened the check, I remember I paid $4,000 for that car. $4,000 I owed. That's what I owed, a little bit under $4,000 on it. I'd financed it. They sent me a check, Dr. Carter, and I don't know why they did. I didn't argue with them. For $8,000. I was able to pay off my car, buy a new car and pay cash, and pay my school bill off, and take my wife out to eat. But that would have never happened if I didn't have trouble. But God knows what he's doing. I don't know about you, but maybe you have something in your life that's going up in flames right now. Just hold on. Trust God. He's going to provide. Amen? Amen. The third thing I see is not only do we experience God's provision, greater provision, but we receive greater protection. Greater protection. Think about this. Daniel, when he was thrown in the lion's den, did God protect him, yes or no? The Hebrew children, when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, did God protect them, yes or no? Paul and Silas are in jail. Did God protect them, yes or no? Well, why don't you think God's going to protect you? God protects us. God protects his children. God watches out for us when we don't even know he's watching out for us. It's like that old poem, Footprints in the Sand. You remember it when he said, I look back through my life, Lord, and in the troublesome times, the hardest times of my life, Lord, instead of two sets of footprints, I only seen one. Why did you leave me, God? And God said, hey, I didn't leave you, friend. I was, those times I was carrying you. And I want you to know when you're going through trouble, you're in the arms of Jesus, amen? And he's come to carry you through. Because he's a protecting God. Oh, we get out of sorts sometimes, don't we? I heard about a lady years ago in the Atlanta airport. She had a bunch of kids, and she was going through the Atlanta airport. And this is before you can check in online, you know? You had to wait in the long line to get through. And as she waited in the long line to get through, she finally got up to the terminal, and it was her turn to get her tickets and load her baggage, and all her kids were crying and screaming, and she just had a hard time because of traffic getting there. And when she went up there, she said, I'm sorry, ma'am. The stewardess lady said, I'm sorry, ma'am. It's too late. You have to take the next flight. Boy, she was mad. She got very mad. And she was just so aggravated, she said, I guess I'll just take the next flight. So they booked her for the next flight. An hour or two later, they were able to leave. They boarded the plane. And she said, as she got off the plane, you know how you go down the terminals and there's TVs all over the place? She said she looked up and something caught her eye. It was on the news like most of the terminals. And it caught her eye and it said, plane crash. She got looking a little closer and she saw the number of the plane. And she remembered the number because she was arguing with it. And I'll give you three guesses what plane that was, and the first two don't count. Can I tell you what happened? She went from being angry real quick to being happy because God protected her in her hour of trouble. Sometimes God allows trouble because he wants us to experience his protection, amen? Sometimes God allows trouble because he wants us to experience his power in a greater way. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am made what? Strong. God wants us to experience his power in a greater way. Moses said, God, I can't. And God says, you're in a good place. God says, you're in a great place. Throw down that rod. What's in your hand? Throw it down. All right? Now pick it back up. That rod's no longer Moses' rod and Moses' power and Moses' strength and Moses' speech. That rod's my rod now. That rod has my power. God, I'm going to do some wonderful things and use that rod as a symbol to do some wonderful things through to show you my power, Moses. How did that come? In trouble. Look at the plagues that God sent. You know, God turned the water to wine. Why did he do that? They ran out of wine. Remember? Oh, no, we don't have any wine. What are we going to do at this wedding? Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? And Jesus said, bring that water here. And you're going to experience my power now. And you're going to taste of those sweet grapes, sweeter than you've ever tasted before in your whole entire life. Why? Because of trouble. What about that little widow with the cruse of oil? What about her? Think about her. Oh, the man of God comes and says, give me what you have. Bake for me first. And she did what the man of God said. And by the way, that's a good thing, amen? And she did what the man of God said. And she baked him and used the oil and baked him those little cakes. And she's probably thinking to herself, what am I going to do now? And then she got pouring some more. And she said, wait a minute. It's not running out. You know how that happened? Because she was in trouble. And God said, I want to teach you something. I want to teach you something about my power in trouble. Remember the disciples? We don't have any food, Lord. There's 5,000 men here, besides women and children. What are we going to do? All we've got is a little basket with some fish and some loaves in it. What are we going to do, Lord? And God says, okay, hold on a minute. I'm going to bless it. I'm going to break it. I'm going to show you my power in the hour of trouble. Amen. Thank God for his power in the hour of trouble. Let me tell you the last thing we experience when we're in trouble. The blessing of trouble. These are blessings, amen? The blessing of trouble. You not only experience the power of God, but you gain a personal testimony of triumph. Think about this with me tonight. If there was no Jochebed with a broken heart, with tears streaming down her eyes, putting her little boy in the bulrushes, there would have been no great deliverer raised up to bring the people out of Egypt. If there had been no David bearing the burden of the scoffing of his brothers, not obeying his father to take the lunch, which he probably didn't want to take it anyways to his brothers, you know, whoever wants to take lunch to their brothers, inconvenienced, troubled, agitated, puts on Saul's armor, and everybody laughs at him, and they laugh at him like Goliath laughs at him. We'd have never had Goliath falling and the power of God being shown. Think about it. If the Hebrew children would have gave in and bowed in their hour of trouble, we'd have never had a delivery from the fiery furnace. If Daniel would have quit praying, despite the consequence, if he had quit praying, we'd have never had that great Bible story of Daniel in the lion's den. Think about if Christ wouldn't have come, and the trouble that he faced, the agony he faced. If there's no cross, there's no crown. If there's no death, there's no resurrection. But thank God he came, amen? Thank God he bore the cross. Thank God he paid for our sins. Thank God he didn't come down. Thank God he didn't call 10,000 angels. Thank God he said, it is finished. Thank God he bowed his head and gave him the ghost. Thank God he rose again on the third day and he ever lives and sits on the right hand of God the Father. And I'm saved today. Why? Because Christ went through that for us. Listen, thank God for that. If there was no blindness for a little girl named Fanny Crosby, We'd have no blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Oh, if that old sailor hadn't got speared and got up and falling off a ship, that slave trader falling off the ship, getting speared, and God saving his life, and he penned, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Listen, that one came through trouble. Listen, some of the greatest stories of triumph and testimony have come through trouble. Listen, if Horatio G. Spafford had not sent his daughters and wife on ahead, the boat had not crashed and sunk, the message had not come back saved alone, if he had not boarded because of the Chicago fire, if he had not boarded the boat and then gone across and the captain had not come to him and said, "Here's the spot, Mr. Spafford," we wouldn't sing, "It is well with my soul." What a blessing these songs are. You know where they are born? Out of trouble. Out of trouble, a blessing came. One of the greatest illustrations of getting a blessing out of trouble is what ladies go through when they're expecting. Boy, they have some trouble. Sometimes they have some morning trouble. Sometimes they have some walking trouble. Sometimes they have some weight trouble, amen? And not just because of the baby. And they get emotional trouble. And they get pains and aches and cramps and all kind of just terrible things. And their body's changing. And they're agitated in these cravings they have. They're going through this troublesome process, it seems. And boy, when that baby's ready to come, it says, "Okay, here I come." And it's not "here I come." And mom's not like, "Yes." She's like, "Oh!" And boy, you ladies who've been through childbirth, you know what I'm talking about. You men who've been with your wife maybe and had the experience, we can say we know what they go through, but we really don't. Amen. But they go through this period of the jaws of death. And they go through this period of pain and agony and trouble. But I want to tell you something. All the pain and all the agony and all the trouble, as soon as that baby's born and you hear the little wah, wah, and they take that little baby over and they place it in mama's arms, I want you to know mama doesn't remember one thing about the trouble she went through. All she knows is God has given her a son, or God has given her a daughter, and glory be to God, it was worth all the trouble to have what I have now. And I want you to know, in the Christian life, you might have some trouble come along your way. And again, I'm not wishing trouble on anybody, but I want you to know, when it's all said and done, and when you've gone through it all, you'll be able to say, "It's been worth every mile." Amen. It's been worth it to go through these things so that I might be more like Christ, and so that Christ can be honored, and that people can be saved. We had a lady in our church. I admire her. She found out early in her pregnancy that her son or daughter, they didn't know at the time, had a chromosome defect. Every doctor she went to said the same thing: "Doc, abort it, abort it, abort it, abort it." So as time went along, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, they said, "There's no doubt about it. This baby has serious problems." And she kept saying the same thing: "We're going to leave it in God's hands. We're going to leave it in God's hands." And she did. 9 months went along. They medevaced her from Naples to Miami. On a really windy day, Pastor and I were in Miami that day. The baby was born, but the baby had major problems. The baby lived, Dr. Carter, for about 4, 5, 6 hours, something like that. Died the same day it was born. It was heartbreaking and heart-wrenching. Of course, they didn't understand it all, but they were trusting God. We planned a memorial service, a funeral service, and they had a couple friends that came. Had a lot of people come, actually. Our church was there, and then they had a lot of unsaved friends and folks that they've known, young couple. We went through the service, and we preached, and we told stories, and we just lifted up Jesus. When it was all said and done, we went over to the fellowship hall, and I noticed the couple was standing there. And one of the men said, "This is a nice church." And the wife says, "I agree." And then the man says, "I think we maybe ought to come here." And the wife says, "I agree." So I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, that's interesting. That's nice. Just admit the people. They ended up coming on a Sunday. They came again on another Sunday. The third Sunday, the man came and walked the aisle and got saved. I led him to Christ. He said, did I ever share my testimony? This is a couple weeks later, Doc. He said, did I ever share my testimony with you? I said, no. He said, when I walked into so-and-so's baby's funeral, I walked into your church an atheist. I didn't believe in God. He said, but something started to happen to me during that service. During that service, something started to happen to me. You know what happened? That man got saved because somebody went through some trouble. Boy, I told this couple about it, and this couple's friends of theirs, and they're just so grateful for it. Oh, don't get me wrong. They wish they had their daughter back, but they're so grateful for it. Our family this last year, we went through the valley of the shadow of death and experienced death. My dear sister-in-law, 39 years old, when she was 9, she had a brain tumor. Boy, what a miraculous testimony that is. How God touched her as a 9-year-old girl. I mean, just touched her in a miraculous way. Doctor said if she lives 5 years, I'll declare medically cured. She lived over 5 years, amen. She graduated from high school. She sang in our choir. She made the most beautiful bulletin boards and cross-stitch your eyes you ever laid your eyes on. She was a servant of God. She loved people. She prayed for people. 39 years old. My wife and I went on vacation with our family. And we were taking a full vacation. First one we've taken, a full one like this, and probably all the years I've been in the ministry there at Seagate. We got up to about North Carolina, about a week and a half into our vacation. We had heard that Jackie had been sick. My mother-in-law had been sick. We had some kind of virus, you know, goes around the church sometimes. She got sick. And we heard that she went into ICU, and we rushed back. We rushed back. I mean, as fast as that little van would go all the way down the highway, we rushed back. We got there. By the time we got there, she was already out. I counted 21 bags around her head, 21 of hanging around when I got to the hospital. We were there with her. We sang songs and tried to talk to her. Of course, she wasn't real responsive. That was for a week. She went up and down. You can read the whole count on our website, SeagateBaptistChurch.com. She went up and down, up and down. It was a mountaintop. I mean, we called everybody. I called your pastor. I called every pastor I knew. On the way back from North Carolina, I called. People pray. And she went up and down. We were really trusting God was going to heal and touch her life. We were really trusting God for that. But God in his wisdom, he did heal her. He took her home to glory. Took her home. God gave us a wonderful gift. The day before she went home to be with the Lord, we were all in there, and my mother-in-law and I were there, and a little tear was coming out of her eye. And my mother-in-law says to the doctor, why is she crying? And she said for the first time, she says, she hears you. And when we started to talk, I could see her eyes moving. And as my mother-in-law would talk to her, she would respond kind of with her eyes, even though they were shut. So God gave us that gift the night before. Isn't God a good God? Amen. So she went home to be with the Lord. We had to plan her memorial service, her funeral service. We didn't know what God was going to do, but we knew God had something great in store. And that day, folks, I tell you, just the grace of God we experienced was something wonderful. But Jackie, she had her favorite restaurant she loved to go to. And there was two men that she really enjoyed talking with, one waiter in particular. And her mother told me, she said, you know, Jackie would always say to me, I sure pray for him. I sure would like to see him get saved. So at the funeral service, our building was jam-packed. Choir was packed, building was jam-packed, the parking lot was jam-packed. Had over 50 preachers there, a lot of folks there. We did the service. He had preaching, gave testimonies. Anyways, when it was all said and done, father-in-law gave the invitation to our pastor and asked people if they'd accept Christ. Told them how to pray, the sinner's prayer, led them through the gospel. And some folks raised their hand. And one of the folks who raised their hand was that man that Jackie was praying for. We talked to him later. We went to the restaurant, and our pastor talked to him, Jackie's dad, and said, hey, I saw you raised your hand. He said, yes. He said, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Amen. Jackie wanted that man saved. That made a little sense of it, Doc. Made a little sense of it. And even through her death now, people are being trained in Bible colleges, and scholarships have been established. And Jackie's brought people to Jesus even in her death. Amen. It's a blessing of trouble. The blessing of trouble. You know what happened to our family? We experienced the presence of God in a greater way. We experienced the provision of God in a greater way. I don't have time to tell you stories. We experienced the protection of God in a greater way. We experienced the power of God in a greater way. There's no way we could have got through that service but for the power of God. And now, tonight, I can tell you a testimony of triumph of what God's done. Why? Because we went through some trouble. We went through some trouble. I wonder tonight, what is God trying to do in your life? What trouble will you face? What trouble are you facing now? The Bible says, let's look at our text verse, and I'm done. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 15, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord. My question for you is this tonight. If you're in trouble or when you do get in trouble, where are you going to turn? To whom are you going to turn? I hope tonight it'll be the Lord. It's time for some of you to give your trouble, to cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It's time for some of you tonight maybe to come in just a moment, if Dr. Carter feels it's necessary, and maybe bow a knee and say, Lord, help me. I'm in trouble right now, but help me to realize a blessing's coming. Help me to realize something's coming. My father-in-law and his brother, when they were young, they had a grandmother who loved to embroider. Is that right, honey, embroider? And she would embroider, and as she would embroider, my father-in-law and his brother, James and Jerry, they would say, Grandma, what you making? And she said, I'm making a beautiful ocean scene with a ship in it. And James and Jerry would say, Grandma, we just don't see it. All we see is a bunch of ugly knots. And she said, you just wait, boys. You just wait. And she'd keep embroidering and embroidering and embroidering and embroidering. And she'd get all those knots just tied just right on the back. And she'd say, James, Jerry, come here. And she would go over to the couch, and she would sit on the couch, and she would have that in her lap with all those ugly knots that you see. And she said, boy, stand on the couch. I want to show you something. And James, little James would stand on the couch, and little Jerry would stand on the couch, and she would take that embroidery, and she'd flip that thing over. And she said, boys, look here now. This is what I'm making. Oh, we see it. We see it now. We see the beautiful sun. We see the ship in the distance. We see the water. It's so beautiful, Grandma. We can see it now. That's what God does to us. God, I don't understand. I don't understand why you let Jackie to go home be with you. God, I don't understand why I'm going through this trouble. I don't understand about this in my life, about my son, my daughter. I don't understand what's going on, God. And God says, my child, just wait a minute. I'm not done yet. I'm working all things together, amen? You're going to get some blessings out of this. And then God says one day, God says, you're going to understand. And when you get through it all, God says, hey, look here. And you look back and there it is. And God says, come up here, I want to show you something. Look from my perspective. See what I see. You say, oh God, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. That's the blessing of truth.